First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to the Alan Nathan Show, live or on tape. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And by the way, if you would like to access the Alan Nathan Show archives, of which there is a veritable plethora, big word, plethora, of shows you can access, just go to www.mainstreetradionetwork.com. And that's where you'll find everything having to do with the Alan Nathan Show. So before we move in with our marvelous list of guests, we have quite a great show planned for you today, covering a variety of topics and interests, always the issues of the day in politics. When I think about all that has been happening just in this very week, things that people were either having their eyes glued to the television or they were avoiding it at all costs. What I'm talking about here were last night was the Oscar presentations. Earlier in the week, there was the Biden State of the Union address. And I just got a kick out of talking to people, plus sharing with them what I decided to do about it by talking to people and whether they decided to just go, go, go and watch, or whether people said, you know, I just don't need to watch or hear this right now. And for the most part, I tuned in a little bit. I read some news afterwards. I did not tune in very much. Now, I had wanted, in the case of the Biden State of the Union address, which wasn't a really State of the Union address, because I have seen parts of it after the fact, it was more of a campaign speech. And as many people said, a very angry campaign speech. I was looking forward to seeing Donald Trump kind of live tweet, in this case, live Truth Social, his thoughts on what was going on. And I also was interested to see the rebuttal that is a tradition on after the State of the Union address. And so I did get to watch both of those, and I could handle, I'm going to be very honest, it's not true confessions, because even people who do talk radio are not obligated to keep watching the same propaganda over and over again. I get the news. I have watched more news than anybody, and I don't need to apologize for that. However, I don't think it is required or an obligation for us to watch things that we know will simply cement the same lies that we've been hearing for such a long time. What would really be news is if they owned up to anything. I mean anything. They pretend the radical left that controls the Democrat Party. They pretend all the time that they have no power. Well, they go about destroying the country with the enormous power that they have amassed. The little lie is that they are the victims of the Republicans who are still in the minority, even though by a hair's breadth, they control the House of Representatives, who sometimes make meager legislation, which is then either completely turned on its head by Biden or vetoed, whatever. They most certainly have not only power in the Congress and the executive branch. Who knows who's really calling the shots in the executive branch? But they always love to behave like the underdog. I mean, if they were full out dictators, and that's exactly the direction we're going, they would still act like they're at the they are victims of Republicans who they are sticking it to every day and trying to censor. It's quite an amazing thing. As for the Oscars, you know, having had a musical comedy kind of career before I started doing radio and doing touring, dinner theater, whatever it is I did, almost a lifetime ago, I never missed the Oscars. And it isn't just because I do politics now, but because there isn't an award ceremony that doesn't have the same features. First off, I really can't stand today's films for the most part. I love older films that remind me of what America was and what it could be. Yeah, I'm not a spring chicken, but I don't like to be evangelized to socialism and communism by a lot of the new movies. I'm not saying that I've boycotted them, but I don't know a lot of the new movies. That's one thing. The second thing is for so many pampered pooches to congratulate themselves as they claim, yes, once again, to be victims, either because of racism, general racism across the country. I mean, they're wonderful at accusing the entire country. They can't be specific. No, the entire country is systemically racist. So these poor little victims who live in mansions the size nobody of everyday people could ever or maybe even wouldn't want to live in are either victims or they are the most petty thinkers I've ever seen. And yes, I'm making a broad generalization. I read recently that my fave, Once Upon a Time, which is funny, Once Upon a Time in America is a movie I was an extra in, and Robert De Niro was the star of that movie when I lived in New York. And Once Upon a Time, Robert De Niro was one of my favorite actors because I love the Godfather movies. Now he has lost his cookies. Not only does he say F Trump at award ceremonies, but on a regular basis, this was some years ago, but I just read that he has accused Trump that if he gets elected, he's going to ship out all the actors and deport them. I mean, where do these people live? I know they live in their ivory tower mansions, but come on. It is astonishing. You think Biden is out of touch, which he is. He's out of touch because I'm not sure he knows his own name. And that's, I guess, the overall thing here. And that is everyday people are living in a completely different reality than these people who have proclaimed themselves as Lord and Master over the rest of us. So I'm happy to see that a lot of people avoid things like the Oscars. And yes, even the theatrical presentation of an angry old man who seemed like he was hyped up on something because the next day he was terrifyingly doddering old and he was the Joe Biden we remember the rest of the year. When he has to make a big speech on national television, who knows what kind of uppers he's on? And apparently the uppers make him really angry, and all he does is yell. And how many people notice this? Most anybody who has seen him any other time, except when he's making his campaign speech, State of the Union address. Angry, pointing the finger, doing all the things your mother told you not to do. Don't blame everybody else. He's the president of the frickin' United States of America, and he's angry at everybody else because he can't get them to help him stop the porous borders in this country. It is what an insult it is to every American, and to Laken Riley, whose name he could not pronounce and didn't want to because he doesn't know anything about it. Oh, yeah. And don't forget, his biggest crime from the left is that he called them illegal immigrants or illegal aliens. And the radical left had a cow, and they forced him. It's easy. You can get him to do anything you want. There are these, I don't know if you saw the strings on Tuesday night, but I mean, you know, the little puppet strings. And then he came out later and apologized for calling them illegal. It doesn't matter about Lincoln Riley. It doesn't matter about people getting murdered and assaulted every day by people who should not be here, for a country that deserves its sovereignty because every country in the world has it. But no, it was about his using a word that is perfectly legitimate. I think I have to go. Get ready for the rest of our show, where we're going to let other people weigh in on the issues of the day. Really great guests we have coming up. We're going to take a break, and you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Wine Country by rising country star Hannah Ellis. After 10 years of carving out her own space in Music City, the Kentucky native now introduces her debut album, That Girl, available now. Named by Rolling Stone Country as an artist to watch and a CMT Listen Up artist, Hannah Ellis has appeared on the Grand Ole Opry several times and toured with stars such as Billy Currington, Gavin DeGraw, and Carly Pierce. That Girl reveals a seasoned songwriter embracing her small-town roots, her real-life romance, and her relatable artistic voice. Hannah Ellis told us about the inspiration for the new album.
The heart of country music is storytelling. Life itself is the inspiration behind this record. Whether it's my sister's breakup, my insecurities, or falling in love, I'm just living my life with a pen and a microphone.
That Girl is now available wherever you get music. For more, visit HannahEllisMusic.com.
Welcome back to The Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, who's on assignment. And we're going to open this part of the show with our very first guest, producer, host of the documentary film Border Wars. She was a host and producer with NTD Television, a branch of the Epoch Times. Before that, she was an activist against human rights abuses and demonstrated against China's abuses. Her name is Nicole McCaw, and we have her right now on The Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Nicole. Good to have you with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on today.
Yes. Boy, never has this issue of our border been so prevalent and affecting every single person's life in the United States of America. Why is it so easy to infiltrate our border? And then maybe we'll get to everybody has an opinion about this. I'd love to know yours. Why does an administration do things like this that can do nothing but harm us and then demonize people who say, could I have a word? What say you?
From my experience and in my personal opinion, I truly feel like the devil is inside the walls. And what I mean by that is the specter of communism trying to infiltrate our country. Communism is the only form of government and theology that has taken humankind as its mortal enemy. And from my understanding, the United States is the very last place where this communism hasn't taken full effect. Is it here in little pieces? Absolutely. Are we experiencing socialism in different states and by our federal government? Absolutely. And what's interesting is after World War II, the communist elitists had to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, how can we manipulate and gaslight individuals into our agenda and what we want? Now, when we read the Communist Manifesto, they clearly label out their agenda and how they will carry it out. And we can see, number one was attack the family. Number two, you separate men and women and pin them against each other. Number three is race. Number four, to bring the economy down to socialism from capitalism. Now, if we reflect back in this last 60 years, we can see that has happened to our country. And from my understanding, this is why people on both sides that we have all witnessed as American citizens are seeing that there are people placed within our government who are helping this agenda to come to the United States.
I wish I could agree with you, Nicole. I really do. But I could not agree more. And I don't think I'm alone. I think people who understand what this country is about and what it was founded upon, the individual liberty and all of that, and they feel powerless. You had in a short time laid out so very clearly. Sounds like you have maybe even personal experience. Many people who've experienced or lived under communist rule, either in Asia or in Eastern Europe, have been trying to warn us. But it's a pretty hard thing when we have so much indoctrination of our young. They don't think socialism is any big deal. It's just an alternate economic system. From your experience as a documentary filmmaker, and maybe personally, I don't know, what can we do about it? You know, other than, you know, getting under our bed and putting our pillow over our face, which isn't really going to work.
Yes, I agree. It seems that there isn't that much hope. But I would love to point out, I'm a big fan of our country's history, our founding fathers' bravery, our founding mothers' bravery. And something that's unique that isn't passed around too much is that only 2% of the colonial population created the Continental Army, who went up against, for many years, up against the most strategized, most organized military in the world. They were so powerful, right? They seemed so powerful. And look what resulted. When people have had enough and they come together and they get active in their localized community, that's when things truly...
I'm losing you here. That's when things... What? Doggone. I think we lost Nicole. Maybe we can get her back just to wrap up, because what a great guest. And I know what she was saying, and I hate to put words in her mouth, so I'll just use my own until we can maybe get her back. Yeah, she's back. Yay. Nicole, we only have about...
I'm sorry about that.
No, it happens. Cell phones and all. We have about 3 minutes, 3.5. Wrap up for us, and I understand what you were saying. Just continue.
Get localized, get into your GOPs, your RNCs, join these government legislative committees, and get excited. Be active in your community. Now, I'll tell you to wrap this up. One, you can go to BorderWarsDoc.com, BorderWarsDOC, to see the film, or Salem Now. It's on both places. Both ones take you to Salem Now. You can go there and see it there. Border Wars is the name of the film. Now, what's different about most of the other border pieces in mine is, one, we have actual trafficking American victims in our film, and we worked with PIs and different three-letter agencies to validate what we all suspect.
That's excellent. And this film is a documentary film, Border Wars. We still have another minute and a half. It's so neat to see documentary film makers educating people. Give us just a tiny bit more, if you would, about what this movie is about and how they can support your work.
This film is about exposing the manipulation and the gaslighting towards the citizens of this country. I truly believe that we all have good from within, and that can be activated by showing those, hey, this is what's happening. Mind you, I'm from inner city Detroit. I never thought the southern border would actually have an effect on my family. My nephew overdosed 3 times on fentanyl within 48 hours.
Oh, yeah. Nicole, yes, go ahead.
No, please, go ahead.
What I thought was amazing, and we do actually have one more minute. What I thought was amazing is that suddenly, because the border is a campaign issue, and even people on the left who wanted sanctuary cities are going, no, send them to Texas, send them to everybody else's state, not ours. What's interesting is if even Biden feigns concern about the border, which he does occasionally feign it, why is it now, why don't Republicans ever call that racist or xenophobic when that's all people who are concerned about the border in previous years have been called? Why don't we fight back with that?
I think that, Ronald Reagan in the 80s, he warned us that there were a few million people working within the government to destroy the country. And I believe we still have that infestation within our government.
More than ever.
More than ever. 95% of these politicians are corrupt. This is why local term limits and getting active in your community is essential.
Yeah. I love your passion. Best of luck with the film. And I'm glad that you don't pull your punches. It's way too late in the game to do that. Nicole McCaw, producer and host of a documentary film, Border Walls, Border Wars. Look that up and go see it. Tell your friends about it. This is Karen Cataline. We're plugging right along here on the Alan Nathan Show. This is the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
I'm Marissa Brainy with some party hosting tips for your game day watch party in partnership with Target, my favorite one-stop shop. This year, Target's pulled together 3 game day spreads for under $25, a cheeseburger taco board, fun twist on a traditional, a wing basket, gotta have those wings, and a nacho bar. Love these for great finger food options that won't break the bank. If you're looking for snacks, Target's Good & Gather brand has you covered, from chips and popcorns to great dips. And in terms of drinks, you want some non-alcoholic versions as well. So think about varieties like Lagunitas, Athletic Brewing Co., and Good & Gather's sparkling water. The cherry cola flavor is a must. Don't forget, Target offers same-day delivery and drive-up options, which make it really easy to stick to your list and your budget. Just head to Target.com or the Target app.
Hello, I'm Peter Castleman, and I'm the co-author of this book, Eat to Think. We come into this world with a beautiful brain. The most amazing part about the brain is it's designed to regenerate, not deteriorate. Yet we're starting to eat foods that destroy our brains. The result is a crisis of cognition decline. 1 in 3 seniors are dying with some form of dementia. It does not have to be this way. We wrote this book, Eat to Think, because 97% of your brain health you control. And in this book is a roadmap to try to understand the brain and a path to how you improve your brain health. Go to eattothink.com, download a free version of the book, as well as other products that we can give you to help you start your journey to improve your brain health.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s. Why should saving for retirement be any different? I mean, they go back to college, learn new instruments, start skateboarding. Whoa. Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. With aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach from AARP. You'll get personalized recommendations based on your input that are easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back.
Snarly move, Dad. Thanks, sweetie.
So wherever you are in your retirement savings journey, head to aceyourretirement.org and start chatting with Avo today. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, and we have with us our, I don't know if you can call him the resident expert on law enforcement and police, but he's definitely one of our friends of this show. His name is Michael Letts, CEO and founder of Invest USA, a national grassroots nonprofit for providing police with bulletproof vests. Michael has over 30 years of experience in law enforcement, and we have him right now. Hi, Michael. How are you this fine day?
I'm doing great, Karen. It's always a privilege to be on your show, and you're making a difference in America. I'm thankful for you.
Well, that's kind of you, but I don't know about that. You are, because you are.
I'm out there.
Because you understand the importance of police officers and how truly cruel, destructive, and almost insane. It's not almost. It's angry, hostile towards citizens if you don't support the police and you want to defund the police. It's obviously agenda-driven. How come Joe Biden doesn't understand that? What do you think?
I think Joe Biden understands it because he has slipped up in the past that we need to fund police. He refuses to do so because he is beholden to the kooks on the left, the far left-leaning ideology. And, of course, what is their purpose? Why do they not want to fund cops? Because cops get in their way. They have one agenda purpose, and that is to control the American citizen. They've always found it difficult to do so. When you have city and state police who are willing to defend Second Amendment rights, the law, and who get frustrated with progressive liberal activists and judges and prosecutors who put criminals back on the street, because we know what it's like dealing with the criminal element. We know the criminal mindset. We know that you can't rehabilitate them, shall we say, by just saying, don't do it again. You're a bad boy. Now go out and have a good afternoon. Never works, but they are convinced that it does. And they are convinced that they don't want to be challenged. They don't want to be challenged in their election integrity. They don't want to be challenged with anything they have to say. They think they are gods, that they run this show. And anybody that challenges that is automatically on the blacklist. And that's why they've gone after cops so bad.
You know what, Michael? And you and I have talked about this. As we are in the mid to late stages of watching this radical left relationship with cops, and that first they demonize cops, force them to get shots, experimental shots, so that they're going to have trouble filling these positions. They've succeeded right. in many areas to defund the police, which was insane, but it doesn't matter because they go and do it and then claim that they're trying not to do it. Well, they do it. What worries me and has worried me for a long time is they also, people in the radical left and others that control the Democrat Party, float ideas that it sounds like, oh, they're not really, they would never do that. And then they do. And the idea they've been floating is, oh, well, because we have such a shortage of cops now, which of course they created on purpose, we are right. now going to make illegal aliens whose very first act coming into our country is to come here illegally, which of course Joe Biden had to apologize for. And then they're going to make those people who do not understand our country police law-abiding citizens. Sounds to me like the beginnings of brown shirts and jackbooted thugs. Sorry, that's what I think, because that's what all socialist regimes, communist regimes need, are people to do the dirty work. What say you?
You're exactly right, Karen. And every cop on the street believes what you just said. And here's
really?
One of the things they hadn't even thought about.
Wow.
Is you're bringing in illegal immigrants, okay? Vast majority of them, I'd say 98%, really have a difficulty with the English language, all right? So you talk about a disaster. You're going to give them a gun, the ability to determine life and death, and they can't even communicate with the people that they're trying to oversee. That is a recipe for disaster. They will not
understand.
Well, they
also come from, you know, liberty unfriendly countries.
Correct.
So they've seen
Correct.
how cops they're corrupt. They can be bought, and in certain countries, it's not an accident. Forgive me for interrupting. I get all excited with you when I talk.
Yeah,
to you.
You're right.
I mean, purely ideologically, you understand. And you see, I just forgot what I was going to say.
So you're talking about the corruption and being bribery and everything else.
Well, here's the thing. The illegal immigrants, the borders are wide open, but I seem to remember not that long ago, the leftists, there was one group, there's several groups they don't want. And one of them is anti-communist Cubans. Did you know that? They don't want anti-communist
Correct.
Cubans. No, they
No.
want people from very socialist communist countries who understand socialism. Your turn.
There's no question, Karen. Let me reinforce what you said. You know, I grew up in Mexico as a son of a mission. My parents were missionaries. And I will tell you, watching the Mexican police, it is corruption to the core. They can stop you for anything. It's a green light, but they said it's red. You better not argue. And you better immediately tell them how much is it going to cost me and fork it over. Or you're going to jail with no record, locked in there. It may be a year before they even realize that they locked you up. And you will sit there and rot until they decide they're going to do something with you. That's
yeah, boy, Americans never do that these days, do they?
No, we've already seen it January the 6th. You know, and I mean, in fact, now the transcripts are coming out to how much they've hid. It is just amazing how strong the liberal left is determined to control us. And then in the controlling, they're going to destroy any freedoms and liberties. You do what you're told or you will regret it. And that is not the country that this nation was founded upon. And we're going to fight till the last breath.
What I find interesting as we're talking about this feared transition from hating cops to suddenly saying, oh, they're cops. You have to do what they say, as long as they're cops that have already been corrupted. Making that transition,
Correct.
Which we hope never happens, I think that the average everyday citizen and conservative, too, are so used to respecting cops. I think this kind of has totally sneaking up on them, and they can't fathom it happening because law-abiding citizens are the greatest champions of cops and law enforcement ever because they don't have any encounters with them. They're not, I mean, maybe a speeding ticket. That's about it. They don't have regular encounters with police officers. So they automatically respect them all, which we need to respect good cops. But you see where I'm going with this. Conservatives are going to be, and others, law-abiding citizens are going to be the first to do exactly what the cops say, even if they're corrupt, if they're in a police uniform. And so now the tables are being turned. It's very disturbing. What do you think about that?
I think you're exactly right, but I will tell you how we're going to handle that, Karen. What we have been advocating, it is time for every citizen to not only to be armed, but to also make sure that they volunteer to help protect their community. We're going to start asking every police department, every sheriff's department, and every state guard to allow volunteers, because that's what they do, to citizens to volunteer to become deputized so that you have the credentials to help enforce the law. You know, we can't depend on the government to do anything. The government is corrupt. And as long as it's corrupt, it's going to be the average American citizen that's going to have to step in and fill the gap. And that's why I'm encouraged. I will tell you this, numbers are up, people that are wanting to volunteer and to help. You have a resistance from a lot of Democrats to this proposal. But quite frankly, there's nothing wrong with law-abiding citizens who have the legal right to carry to help assist our first responders in enforcing the law. Once the Democrats see that we know the law and we'll be checking those who they quote-unquote illegally hire, that idea will perish real quick.
I don't know, but it must be emphasized because we're talking about something that many people could misunderstand. What we're talking about, and in order to even do this and talk about it in an ethical way, is that people must hold integrity, ethics, and the rule of law as primary, whether they're volunteers or deputized or not. And when you're in a position of high authority, you have to do that. You have to know that not every cop does it right all the time. And they have to be willing to be challenged when they are truly wrong, when they've entered a home, you know, without a warrant, for example. We're out of time. We could talk for a long time. And you people can find Michael Letts at investusa.org, is it?
Yes, ma'am.
I got it right this time. www.investusa.org. Always a pleasure, Michael Letts. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, God bless you. Have a great day.
Same to you. Well, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this on The Alan Nathan Show.
The Citizens Award program is one that we started here 25 years ago to honor the businesses that are taking the lead in solving the world's biggest challenges. And what we find they're really doing is using talent, their resources, really digging deep into the expertise they have as a company and putting that work for their communities. This year, we got to honor 11 organizations all over the country. Who are really making a difference in their communities. We cast a wide net. We've got 9 categories. We've got large business, small business, medium-sized business, civic organizations. And the breadth of what they're doing is just astonishing and inspiring. You've got companies like Medtronic, whose employees volunteered 190,000 hours in their communities last year. Please go to uschamberfoundation.org. You can take an idea and make it right for the place that you live and the people that you serve.
The holidays are here, and Amazon Access is making shopping on Amazon even easier and more affordable this season. Whether you're checking things off your holiday gift list or prepping to host a family feast, Amazon.com/access has programs, discounts, and features for eligible customers to save big. With Prime Access, qualifying government assistance recipients can get over 50% off a regular Prime membership while still enjoying all the benefits of Prime, including fast, free delivery on every order. Eligible customers can shop everyday essentials like shampoo, paper towels, and coffee, as well as festive products products like holiday gifts, hosting must-haves, and decor for only $6.99 a month. Eligible customers can also register their Snap EBT cards on Amazon to order eligible groceries online for delivery or pickup. In addition, they can use Snap benefits on Amazon.com to shop shelf-stable pantry items and shop fresh produce from Amazon Fresh. Find discounts, coupons, convenient pickup options, and more with Amazon Access. Visit Amazon.com/access to learn how you can save big this holiday season. Terms and conditions apply. Sponsored by Amazon.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had to choose
between getting medicine or groceries?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, who is on assignment. Well, we are delighted to have with us President and CEO of Job Creators Network. He's the co-host of the Main Street Matters podcast, and we're going to talk to him about the latest jobs report. Alfredo Ortiz is his name. Hi, Alfredo. Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show.
Karen, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it is our pleasure. Well, the latest jobs report is out, and it seems to show a softening of the labor market, often because it's usually, many people are saying, is high inflation, high interest rates. And a lot of people now know, more people than ever, who lost their job or who got laid off. What say you about this, and how come Joe Biden doesn't even mention it? I don't think he mentioned it in his State of the Union speech, did he? About, you know, the loss of jobs, none of that. He was talking about everything but.
Yeah, no. I think he was too busy talking and conferring with the Cookie Monster, I think, if I remember correctly, about inflation, supposedly. But no, I mean, the sad part is that once again, the State of the Union, I mean, he was lying to the American public, talking about all the jobs that he's created over the, you know, his tenure. The reality is that the majority of those jobs, he says it was about, I think he said 14 million jobs or 15 million jobs. Can't remember.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But, yes, but I do know that.
But, uh-huh. but the reality is about 11 million of those jobs on our quick estimates are really jobs that were basically just backfilled from post-pandemic. So in terms of true job creation, I'll give them credit for, let's say, 4 million jobs. But now the problem with that is about 50% are either government jobs or basically uses government subsidies because they're in the medical profession, which is basically run by Obamacare. So when you really, really peel the onion and look at the jobs that have actually been created in the real economy that you and I operate in, it's really not as rosy as he likes painting it to be. And in fact, the latest job numbers, which look, you know, I think it was above estimate, it also was accompanied with a revision to the last month's down almost 170,000 jobs. So they love doing this. And I think they've pretty much for the past, oh, I would say 14 months, this has been the case, except for 1 month, I believe, where there was no revision. They get the headlines. They get the nice headlines that, you know, it beat estimate or it's looking good. And then the next month, there's a big revision. And of course, no one from the Main Street, you know, mainstream media actually covers the revisions. They just like giving Joe Biden the big headline.
Yeah, like, oh, by the way. And then the corrections always end up on page 42. That seems common. There's also another phrase often popular, figures can lie and liars can figure, right? And so you're breaking these down. You can use that if you want. I didn't make it up. And how does that affect, I know that you're part of the Job Creators Network, how does that figure into all of this? And does it address the issue head on, I'm wondering?
Well, yeah, so the big issue here is, you know, especially for our small business owners across the country, you know, they, of course, have been having a lot of issues, you know, after the pandemic, and of course, during the pandemic. But after, it was about trying to find enough workers that are qualified to work and stuff like that. And, you know, the wages that they had to pay to attract them. Now they've pretty much put their hiring plans on hold, which is very concerning because when two thirds of jobs created are created through small businesses, that's a big concern when small businesses say, well, wait a minute, we're not too keen on this economy going forward right now from, you know, reading our tea leaves and talking to our own customers. So they've put a pause on their hiring, and large businesses, especially in the technology sector, they're laying people off. And so when you combine the two, and then you have the fact that the consumer is just, you know, I mean, we are at record levels in terms of credit card debt. They have basically no savings left. They have mortgages that have increased, you know, in some cases, if you know, folks have these variable type rates that, when, you know, maybe they were at 2.5 points. Now they're up at 6, 7, 8%. Credit card rates are at almost 30%. So the consumer is really, really taking it on the chin. They are feeling poor. And if there's one thing, Karen, that I remember from my old consumer product goods days, if the consumer feels poor, regardless of whether or not they are poor, they will act poor, which means their behavior will change, which means that will impact the economy and demand and overall the interest in small businesses in particular of hiring new people.
My father always said in the days of the boom and bust economy with inflation and recession, all that, he said, the employment is always the first to show it.
Yep.
For a recession or anything else that's coming down the pike. Funny that Joe Biden presented a pretty rosy picture of his State of the Union. What do you say?
Karen, you know, Karen, I always say that this White House should really get, you know, some kind of like literary award for best fiction, because they truly write some of the best fiction stories out there. I mean, and how they can actually get up there, whether it's the State of the Union or the press secretary, and with a straight face lie to the American public in terms of, you know, what's actually going on. I mean, this situation is not healthy. And, you know, I've been saying this over and over. Again, when you break it down and look at the consumer itself, I mean, they say the consumers never felt better. I don't know about you, but I go out and, you know, I get three bags of groceries. I'm paying $100 and I'm not going to no fancy places. I'm going to my local Kroger here, you know, out in Atlanta. I went to go buy a hot dog. I didn't have any ketchup, so I had to go buy some ketchup. It was over $9 for a bottle of ketchup. I mean, this is ridiculous. You can't even have a hot dog.
Stunning. Well, I mean, these elites, it's funny because I kind of did a little rant at the beginning of the hour about how I didn't really feel like watching the Dog and Pony Show, even though I do talk radio. Both the State of the Union, which was an angry campaign speech, the Oscars. Right. These people are totally out of touch with real life. And what they're trying to do, I guess, don't mean to lump them up together too closely, but you can, is telling us what our reality is. They don't ask. They are not listening. They don't want to know. They want to tell you what the reality is so that other people will believe that this is what's going on. How do you do that when you're living it? You're living this reality.
Yeah.
Unless you go to the grocery store yourself.
That's right. It's just insulting, Karen, and they really should apologize to the American public for what they've been doing.
How can people get a hold of you at Job Creators Network, Alfredo Ortiz?
Well, we tackle all the challenges for small business owners. And
real quick, I got to
join us. JoinJCN.com. Thanks, Karen.
That's easy. Okay, thank you so much. We got to run. We're going to take a break and have one more hour of the Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.